attention, please. Shabbat shalom, everyone. I'm Son of Israel, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for some services.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. I'm Samuel Zoyabel Ethan Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present the sons and daughters of Israel Abel entering the sanctuary. I now present one of the sons of Israel Abel, Yeshaya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is Do Not Drink from the Cup of Demons. So as Yahweh's people celebrate another great Sabbath day, the world is preparing to celebrate one of their biggest pagan festivals, Halloween. And my purpose today is to prove why we should have no part in this wicked celebration in honor of the dead. In Genesis chapter 12, Yahweh told Abraham to remove himself from his family and move to another land, which Yahweh chose. Why did Yahweh tell Abraham to leave? The land of Ur, which is part of Mesopotamia, was where the ancestors of Abraham lived. Abraham's ancestors worshipped gods and demons. Yahweh knew Abraham had to come out from under the powerful influence of his ancestors' worship in order to grow and learn to follow Yahweh only. Reading the definition of demons and demonology from the Halloween booklet. It's from the Encyclopedia of Judaica, Volume 5, page 1521, tells us what demons and demonology are. It says, demons, demonology. A demon is an evil spirit or devil. Now there is one devil and many demons, and Satan is the devil. Now the line between gods and demons is a shifting one. It means interchangeable. In the 12th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 15, verse 39, pastor is reading from Jeremiah 28. It says, Those who deal with the laws do not know me. The pastors also transgress. They transgressed. Transgression is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Transgressed against me and the prophets. That is the prophets of the Lord now. The prophets of the Lord. The Lord was these masons that died before, and they started worshiping their dead bodies, hoping to get their prayers answered. They still do that today. That is a well-known thing among the Catholics. Halloween, the biggest holiday of the year now. They make more money on Halloween than they do Christmas now. Yes, that is the worship of the dead. Standing behind the priest. That is being led by the priest. Now, I have an article from the National Retail Federation which shows just how much money people are spending on Halloween now. It says more than 157 million Americans plan to celebrate Halloween this year. According to the National Retail Federation, Halloween consumers Consumer Spending Survey. The average person celebrating will spend $47.34, compared with $77.52 last year. Total spending on Halloween is expected to reach $6.9 billion. Now, people also go out to different places looking for a fun time, and often pay money to be scared at places called haunted houses. One such place made news in California. A person is required to sign a waiver of release of liability before entering. It says, they have rules who should not visit, such as, we do not recommend pregnant women to go through the haunted house. No toddlers or infants will be allowed entry. This attraction is recommended for visitors who is not recommended for visitors who have back problems, heart conditions, are prone to seizures, or are in general poor health. This sounds a lot like the side effects from a prescription drug. It goes on to say, we reserve the right to determine if you are not allowed and for safety reasons. They also warn of offensive materials, saying, you will witness extreme traumatic material, such as suicide, assault, drug use, and bullying. Also, psychosis, including but not limited to eating disorder, schizophrenia, etc. And now one visitor wrote, giving a 5-star review, they attack the senses here. And yes, it is interactive. We had to take a pill. Get frisked. We could not leave one room until someone ate the bacon. Yuck. So they have dead pigs hanging and you have to go and eat a piece of bacon off of them. This is what people are doing for fun at this time of the year. And Yahweh clearly shows us who has taught them this behavior. And the end result in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 17. It says, they who sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, following after the priests in the midst of those who eat swine's flesh, that is which is offered to God's Elohim, the rodent which will be consumed together, says Yahweh. So just like Yahweh knew Abraham needed to stay far away from the demon worship of his time, we are also commanded not to take part in these things. In conclusion, the tradition of Halloween is filled with the same abominations Yahweh told us not to seek after. Practicing these abominations is worshiping. It is the worship of demons and not of Yahweh. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20 to 21. On page 894, 1 Corinthians 10:20-21. It says, But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to Yahweh. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of Yahweh and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of Yahweh's table and the table of demons. And with this, I'll turn it over to some of Yishalabel.
Son of Yishalabel, future priest Deacon Yishalabel Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, the title of my sermon today is, in the house of Yahweh, we are training teachers, and in the world, they are training killers. Now, we've all heard the saying, learn what to teach and then teach what you've learned. Now, we are all being trained to become teachers. Well, teachers of what? Teachers of righteousness. In the 13th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 6, verse 72, a pastor says here, now in 2 Thessalonians 21, He says, "Now we plead with you, brothers, concerning the coming of our King, Yeshua Messiah, and our gathering together to him. This is a gathering that is going to take place. There will be over 2 billion people gathered to Yeshua. Yes, and everyone will be teachers at that time." The apostle said, "Everyone that makes it will be teachers, and they will invite everyone to sit under this vine, Yeshua, under their own vine, which is Yeshua, and under the branch." Remember that it says fig tree, but it's not. They'll invite everyone, because everyone is going to be teachers at that time. And you will have no need of someone else teaching you, because you're going to be a teacher, or you won't be there. And that's the thing. This is a one and only opportunity. You better take it while it's here. And now we're gathering together to him. So everyone is going to be teachers at that time. Now this is the one and only opportunity. So this is our opportunity to become teachers of righteousness, keeping Yahweh's laws. In the 12th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 46. And it says, verse 43, he's reading from Yochanan, Mark chapter 10. Verse 43, "But this must not be so among you. For whoever will be greater among you will be your minister, your servant, the one who serves." There's not going to be rulers in Yahweh's kingdom. There are going to be examples in Yahweh's kingdom. Teachers of righteousness. They're going to get everyone to wanting to be a servant instead of being served. And when Yeshua, he says, "When I come out to greet you, I'm still going to be the same. I'll put my tallit on and my apron on, and I will come out and I will serve you." Praise Yahweh. And Yahweh says, "You must choose this way or you won't be part of my kingdom. You must choose it. If you don't now, there's a hellfire that will be the end of you, where you'll be cast to get rid of you. You won't be bringing what the Pope is bringing to this world today." Excuse me. So there are going to be examples. He said examples in the kingdom. Teachers of righteousness. And not teachers of the mixture. You know, there can't be a mixture of righteousness and evil. That's what's in the world. Remember Genesis 3 verse 5. Evil like the gods. So there can't be a mixture. Yahweh isn't going to allow this mixture of righteousness and evil in his kingdom. We can already see what occurs when there isn't a righteous teacher. In the 13th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 17, and verse 21, pastor says here, "Look over to Yochanan 15, Francis, and this would make you worth something if you would start teaching righteousness and turning the world from this evil that you're seeing all over the world, with people killing their teachers, shooting their teachers, stabbing their teachers, killing their families, brothers, sisters, anyone, you know. Their minds could snap at any minute. One in every five being born with a mental disorder, being born with it. That's what your way of life of ignoring Yahweh's laws has brought upon the world. And you can't save it by kissing babies. You're only making things worse out there, making out like you got something to offer. You don't have anything to offer. It's worthless. It's nothing. It's like ashes. It's turned back to ashes, to death. So out in the world, they are trained to kill." Now, I want to read you an article from The Guardian. The title is "The Ultra-Violent World." This is about one of the year's top movies, the top movies of this year. It says, "The ultra-violent world of Mad Max no longer shocks us. It's too close to reality. Our growing appetite for dystopian movies isn't hard to fathom. Wars are raging, and real barbarism is all over the internet. When we go to the movies, there's nothing we love more than a violent dystopian." If you don't know what that word means, it means an imaginary place which is depressingly wretched and whose people lead a fearful existence. It says it's one of the most grotesque and at the same time most perfect dystopias ever presented on screen. In 1979, in order to actually witness what a 50 caliber bullet does to the human body, you would have had to be reporting or fighting on the front line of a dirty war. No TV channel in the world would have shown you the pictures. you would have seen from grainy news footage what a napalm strike looks like from afar. Skipping down a little bit, it says, now in all action movies, the 50 caliber bullet routinely explodes the rib cage, the knife across the throat jets blood into the air, and the orc's brains are filleted, even in movies aimed at children. So even young children are going and watching these movies where these violent acts are being performed. Like the haunted houses that people visit at Halloween with the dead body part or the dead bodies and the body parts strewn around all over the place. It says no action movie set is properly dressed without random body parts strewn around. So they're saying that they have to have these things in them. And in the paragraph under that, it says society is so screwed that death is preferable. So they prefer death. Now, before I go any further, I want to read out of the self-control unit on page 123. It's under the heading, The Violence Continues, chapter 5. It says, witnessing repeated acts of violence leads to what is known as desensitization. In other words, seeing people get hurt in the movies and video games lessens one's ability to care about people when they get hurt in real life. So society is so desensitized that death is preferable. Now I want to read you some things that occur in this movie so you can get a look at how these people are being trained. It says, this is an article with like reviews, what people say about it. It says, the land is run by Immortan Joe, who is kept alive by various disgusting mechanisms and rules with an iron fist. Owning thousands of slave boys and an army of road warriors, he controls the people by limiting their water. It's a violent film, very violent. It's a violent world that they live in, and people live and die on a daily basis due to cruelty and deprivation. The majority of deaths occur through violence, explosives, explosions, or crashes. Therefore, are gruesome and graphic. It could have been made far worse. Don't for a moment picture Kill Bill levels here, but it's in-your-face violence. People are stabbed, shot, mangled, crushed, dragged, torn apart, blown up, and tortured. All manner of weapons are used. Now, on the comments, there's a section that's called positive. Now, I want to read you this. It says, I'm a pastor of a church in Queensland, Australia, and I went to see this movie. This movie had some violence, but it is not as violent as some of the things that happen in the Bible, he says. Overall, it was a good quality movie, and I would recommend it to my friends and family. So the people that are supposed to be, they're supposed to be teaching the people the right way to go, but, you know, they're recommending these violent movies to their families, their congregations, their friends. Now for the negative comments here. It says here the negative. It says, one person says, in our contemporary world where louder is better, Mad Max Fury Road hits its key audience. No character development, just explosions and really wicked stunts. So there's no character development. There's no positive character development. I actually left the film when a scene involving a pregnant woman was too hideous to watch. I am unsure if this is now the litmus test for contemporary audiences. Example, seeing how much depraved ugliness they can be proud to devour, like a trophy of sorts. I am feeling sad that so many movies are hollow now. Like the Romans, our entertainment is becoming the spectacle of death. Gratuitous violence is the quickest thrill. So this violence, they say, is the quickest thrill. And their entertainment is becoming the spectacle of death. So as you heard, I read, you know, people are torn apart, they're crushed, they're stabbed. And it said that children are watching this. And they're putting these things in their minds. And they are learning how to kill. Now, movies are not the only things that are being used to train children. also the video games. I have an article for Video Game Industry 2014 Couldn't Escape Slumping Game Sales. But it's talking about how people, you know, they're not buying certain things, but they're making it more readily available, and they're don't think they're not playing these games anymore, but they're making it more readily available to where they can play it on the internet and other ways, other manners. But it said, in online marketplaces such as Sony's PlayStation Store, Apple's App Store, and Valve's Steam Marketplace for PC titles, total spending jumped 11% to $1.2 billion in the month of December, according to competing industry watcher Super Data Research. So Mortal Kombat is the top one. I want to read you some of the names so that, and you can tell by the names that these things don't promote any righteousness at all. So let me read you the names here. Mortal Kombat X, Grand Theft Auto 5, Battlefield Hardline, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Minecraft, Batman, Arkham Knight, Dying Light, NBA 2K15, The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, and Super Smash Bros. Now at the bottom here it says, 5 years ago it might have been different. Gamers bought more titles per year, devouring them and moving on to something else. But as publishers have added more and more downloadable content offerings, they've been able to keep players hooked for longer periods and increase their profit growth. So they want them to be hooked on this and play it for longer periods so that they can bring in more money. So you can tell by those names that I just read that they don't promote any righteousness at all. Now here's the other article. It has a picture, so you can see how crazy it looks. But it says, Mortal Kombat X, the most violent video game ever. It says, it's one of the most infamous game franchises of all time. It's pretty simple, really. Two characters hit each other until one of them dies. Now, if you remember what Pastor said about his father teaching him, son, two wrongs don't make a right. Well, in this video game here, they're teaching you the complete opposite. You know, the two characters hit each other until one of them dies. It says here, rinse and repeat. Fighting games don't get much simpler than that. But what made Mortal Kombat stick out was its realistic depiction of violence. The characters were digitized versions of real actors, so each punch looked sort of like one person actually punching another one. It wasn't a cartoon, and censors were not pleased. Now, on the second page of this article, it says that he was talking about the first version of this game, because it's been around for a couple years, and it says, it was definitely fun to punch off my friend's head. So listen to what these people are saying about it. And then on the last page of this article, it said here, Mortal Kombat X is the kind of game that keeps overly protective parents up at night, convinced it will turn their children into heartless killers, and it reveals it's the guaranteed controversy. It knows exactly what it is, and it shoves your face in it. And, you know, so they said it keeps the parents up, convinced that it's going to turn their children into these heartless killers. Well, the truth of the matter is that that's what it is doing. It is turning their children into killers. That's what it's training their children to be. And people that do these things, they develop the mentality that violence is a normal and an acceptable way of life, which it isn't. In the 7th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 13, verse 106, Pastor says here, the number one thing that I brought out at the first of this series 4 months ago, I think the number one thing that I pointed out to you was, without the righteous teachers, the house of Yahweh will not stand. It can't have a mixture. You can't allow the mixture in it. A house divided against itself, Yeshua said, won't stand. So first off, you've got to appoint righteous teachers that will not give in any iota of sin, and righteous judges that don't seek a bribe. So you can't have the mixture. You have to have righteous teachers. You can't straddle the fence. So I think I'll study for 15 minutes and then I'll go watch this movie. No, you can't think like that. Like Pastor said, you know, he would take that thing and throw it through the television set. There can't be a mixture. If you'll turn over to Matithiah chapter 6, in closing. And look, Matithiah chapter 6, found on page 733, verse 24. It says here, no one can be the slave of two owners. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot be a servant to both Yahweh and the riches. So the kingdom of Yahweh, it's going to be a kingdom of perfection and unity. Remember, we're all striving to come into unity, and that's what the kingdom of Yahweh is going to be. There's not going to be a mixture of righteousness and evil. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you the Great Khan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, you know where we're going, right? All right, great. We're going to continue on the lines of where I left off last time, and along the lines of the number 40. And I want to remind you just of a couple things. By the way, if I didn't say it, may the peace of Yahweh be with everybody. Let's see, 40 days. Remember the things we learned about that number 40. Very important to keep in our mind as we're going through this. You know, are familiar with all the things I went over about the 40 days and 40 nights and how that's a period of testing, trial, probation, and so on and so forth. And as soon as I got off the stage last week, somebody reminded me, you know, Pastor also fasted 40 days and 40 nights, even as Moshe did, right? So you can see all the pattern that's being followed in these last days by this great house of Yahweh, by our great overseer. So I want to remind you, we were talking about 1967 and how Pastor, you know, 33 years after he was born, moved to Abilene, Texas. And I showed you some of the things that led up to that. And we went through quite a bit of scriptures I won't be able to go through today. But I do want to remind you of one where Pastor talked about television bringing the society down and how it all started in the 40s. And he said he didn't know if I had brought out the significance of the number 19 to that number 40 and how they both connect. Now, what I want to make the connection with right now is how that number 19 of 19 years after 1948, when the nation of Israel or the nation of Israel established by the United Nations was founded, how Pastor came to Abilene in 1967, 19 years later, and how that ties in. So without any further, and then we're going to get into some really super exciting stuff. So I hope you're all ready. Okay. So, not that that's not exciting. That's exciting too, right? I want to read a little something here. This is from that same sermon from last week that we worked off from 6907, exactly 40 years from the day of the Six-Day War, that the Six-Day War ended in Israel. It's Keeping the Sabbath, number 12, chapter 21 of the 7th book of Israel, part 1. And I just want to read these pertinent parts here about the number 19. That the great Kohan Gedaliah got up here and read. Pastor used to call him the Sacred Code Kid. Remember that? Okay? He was working on these numbers and these meanings way before I was. Okay? And we're going to be seeing him very soon now. Okay, now it says, Pastor says, now the number 19, it's listed on page 262 of Number in Scripture by Bullinger. And he says, the number 19 is a combination of the number 9 and 10. The number 9 is listed on page 235 of Number in Scripture by Bullinger. And it shows that the number 9 is the last of the digits, you know, the single digits, before it rolls over into 10. And that shows change, how something changes, okay? Something changes over. And he says, the end, it marks the end. It marks the end and thus the significance of the conclusion of a matter. Bullinger also shows that the number 9 is significant of the end of man and the summation of all of man's works. Bullinger then says that the number 9 is therefore the great number of finality and judgment. Finality and judgment. Please write these down. Now, the Hebrew letter tet, T-E-T, is used as the number 9 in biblical Hebrew. So the T equals 9. And that letter tet, listen to this, it means the sign of resistance and protection. The sign of resistance and protection. The symbol or representation of the shelter of man or a shield. Continuing on now, that's the number 9, okay? Now the number 10, 10 and 9 is 19, he says 10, he says, is listed on in Bullinger's number in Scripture on page 243, and he says it's the number which marks the protection of man's order commencing a new series. Bullinger then says, completeness of order marking the entire round of anything is therefore the signification of the number 10. Number 10 means nothing is wanting. The number and order are perfect. The whole cycle is complete, like the Ten Commandments, okay? Pastor goes on to say that Yod, the letter Yod, is equivalent to 10 in Hebrew. And so you have T-Y would be 19, and then 10-9 is 19. He says, Yod is the symbol of all manifested power and eternity. So therefore, here's what the number 19 means. It's the end of man's works and way, for he will be judged by Yahweh. Those who reverence Yahweh will be protected. Hence, Yahweh's kingdom, which is perfect in every way, will now come and it will be forever. Okay? That's what the number 19 means. It means also means it is the emblem of what is the source of all physical existence, the symbol of all manifested power and eternity, which is, of course, Yahweh. The sign of resistance and protection, the symbol or representation of the shelter of man and shield, the symbol of the manifested power and eternity, which is, of course, Yahweh. Now, I want to remind you, think about that definition, because 19 years after the establishment of the nation of Israel over in the Middle East, Pastor came to Abilene in 1967, and that was 19 years later. And what Yahweh was showing was, now has Yahweh's kingdom come, which is perfect in every way. It will now come, and it will be forever. It will be forever. The house of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas, will be forever, okay? And that's the significance of that number 19 to the number 40, because they both have to do with finality of judgment and Yahweh's kingdom being established and so on and so forth. Okay, now, remember we went over Pastor's 40-year sequences in his life? The first 40 years, you know, we went over that and all the jobs he had, and he was a police officer. It was the last job that he had. This is from the 9th book of Israel. Part 2, chapter 14, verse 3-4. He says, 76 is the year I quit the police department in Abilene and started spending full time in the house of Yahweh work. Full time. 24 hours a day. At least 24 hours a day. And I know he would do more if there was more than 24 hours. So praise Yahweh, he says. Police department, he quit in 1976. That's very significant. Now, I want to remind you, 1975 is when Pastor said that he began to write the prophetic word. I mean, I'm sorry, not the prophetic word, but the mark of the beast. And a lot of people think that the mark of the beast, it was published as a book in 1985, but as you can see here, this is a prophetic word from 1983. If I can zoom out a little bit here. It's a very old copy that I got from the archivist, right there. And notice, it's talking about how it's the Mark of the Beast, part one, is in this particular volume. I don't know why this does this to me. Right there, the Mark of the Beast, number one, okay? So Pastor had already printed it. He'd already had it put together by 1976. And he was putting it in the prophetic word, or in the prophetic word magazine, in installments in different times. Okay. In fact, here's another one here. The Mark of the Beast 2. This is also from 1983. And it's talking about Yahweh's sacred days come to the feast. It was around Passover of 1983. Okay, so yes, it was around much longer. Pastor wrote it in 1975. Now get this. 1975, would that have not have been the start of the second 40-year period of his life? He was born in 1934. So around 1974, 1975, now he's rolling into another 40-year period of his life. And he quit the police department in 1976, which is also very significant because I want to show you here, he had published the Mark of the Beast. Here's his words. He says, this is 13th book, part 1, chapter 15, verse 17. He said, I asked a question, could a person with a computer hacking, you know, hack any computer? I wrote about the computer, I think it was 1976, and I showed the really great computer in Brussels, Belgium, which they used to call the Beast, by the way, of course, and its counterpart in New York City, and these were connected. And Kahan Safanya told me this morning that his simple laptop now was more powerful than that computer that I spoke of in 1976. And that computer in 1976 was so magnificent that it could give every man, woman, and child on earth a number without any two of them having the same number. And of course, could come from there on, you know, it had that capability. So Pastor wrote about this in 1976 when he quit the Abilene Police Department. Okay, now, and he went into the work of Yahweh full time. Okay, the word 1976... We're going to go into this pretty deep, but I'm going to, you know, of course, this is going to be another sermon after today. It's not, you're not going to get it all today. But 1976, it means so, okay, and it's from this word here, which is word number 4476, and it means a needle, and it's from this word here. 4474, and it means to slap, strike, smite with the hand. To strike with a rod, hence to strike with the palm of the hand. Now, you know, don't get in your mind, you know, like pastors slapping anybody around. You know how pastor slaps us around? Well, let me show you how he slaps us around. It's a great slapping, okay? We all need it. Yeah, I remember that. Remember that video they made, the commercial for the Peaceful Solution. It was like a slap in the face. We all need that sometimes, right? Now, but here's what he's talking about. This is the fifth book of Israel, chapter 26, verse 58. For behold, Yahweh our Father will take away from Jerusalem and from Yada the support, the stock, and the staff. Remember the staff of Yahweh. That's a sermon in itself because all these instruments represented certain things. King David said in the famous psalm, your rod and your staff comfort me. Do you remember that? He was speaking of the teaching of Yahweh at the great rock of Abel, the house of Yahweh. This is from the third book of Israel, chapter 27, verse 52. You will go out with a rod as David used. David spoke of this staff and his rod. The world makes it sound like this rod was supposed to be for chastisement. This is what people think. It was a rod of chastisement when it actually was a rod of correction that was taught by a teacher. This was not done by beating a child, but with teaching a child the difference in this and that. That's what Yahweh's bringing forth among these kingdoms at this time without enforcement of it. Now, there was one more. Right here, this is 7th book, part 1, chapter 18, verse 76. He says, but with righteousness he will judge. With righteousness will he judge. That's the righteous laws of Yahweh. Look there, let's see. Judge the poor and reprove with equity. For the meek, the humble of the earth, he will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. That is, by the word of his mouth. It's not hitting something, but it's with speaking and teaching and with the breath. which ties right into what I just said. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. That is, he will tell them. He will do this with the teaching and slay the wickedness that keeps them on the route of wickedness. Okay? That's what the word smite means, okay? But it means to smite with the hand, stripes, slap, strike, smite with a hand, or with a rod. And here's their explanatory notes here. To smite in the face with the palm of the hand. This is another definition. This is the worldly definition. To box the ear. To box the ear. Now that's interesting that they would use that. To box the ear. To smite with the palm of the hand. Box the ear. What does that mean? Box the ear. Well, here's the word box from dictionary, free dictionary online. And I'm going to look at the second definition of the word box here. Box means a slap or blow with the hand or fist. A box on the ear, as in Rocky Balboa. Y'all remember Dumbo that Pastor always talks about? Rambo, Dumbo, Rocky Balboa. You're going to learn more about that, but let me just give you a hint. Balboa is Baal. Boa is the serpent. Baal the serpent. And you're going to learn more about that as we go along, because you're going to see how all... And then, by the way, that movie came out in what year? 1976. And you're going to learn more about that, and you're going to see how all this is tied in with, even with today's papal visit that the Roman Pope just had. I want you to remember, I'm whetting your appetite right now. Okay? Now, y'all remember, America is 239 years old in 2015. So, I looked up that word 239 in the Hebrew, and it means to weigh, to test, to prove. Remember? Weigh, test, and prove. And it's, remember Daniel, turn over to Daniel 5:25 on page 676. 676. That's interesting. You can get 13 out of that both ways. 676. Look at Daniel 5:25. On 677, I'm sorry. And either way, you're getting 13. Okay, so it says, and this is the writing that, remember the handwriting on the wall of the king of Babylon? It said, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, Yahweh has numbered your kingdom and ended it. Tekel means shekel, to weigh, 239, remember, to weigh. You have been weighed on the scales and are found lacking. And then Perez, to divide. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And remember how the Babylon fell to the Medes and the Persians after that time. Now, what's interesting about that, when you look at the gematria of that, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, do you see the gematria, what it equals? 1776. 1776. Now you're probably thinking, well, that was 239 years ago. What's that got to do with today? Well, you're going to find out that it has everything to do with right now, today. Okay? As we go along. By the way, just to whet your appetite a little more, speaking of Rocky, you know, the statue of Rocky Balboa is in Philadelphia. The film was filmed in Philadelphia. You remember, I don't know, some of you that used to watch movies, he ran up the steps the museum, the Philadelphia Art Museum, and he's standing at the top of the steps, putting his arms up. Well, they got that particular statue still up to this day of Rocky Balboa right there, and where the Pope was at, by the way. You're going to learn more about that as we go along. Independence Square in Philadelphia equals 666 in Jewish gematria. That's probably a coincidence, right? Well, this might be a coincidence too. This man is in Independence Square. He's a Jesuit named Commander John Barry. And his statue is in Independence Square in Philadelphia, where the Pope was at. There's John. Well, interestingly enough, John Barry also equals 666 and 111. Now, I'm just going to give you a little preview. I don't want to give everything away right now, but you remember this equation. See if I can find it. Y'all remember this equation, right? 1,110 drop to 0, 1, 1, 1. Y'all remember that? Just giving you a little hint. Nothing is done by accident, okay? None of this has been done by accident. Now, let's go to the Mark of the Beast book, which I don't know about y'all, but man, that is like one of the, it's the foundational book, because remember, it's the first book Pastor wrote, right? Now, I want to remind you of something that Pastor said about the Mark of the Beast. This is from the seventh book, part 1, chapter 19, verse 32. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says, he wrote about it and told his disciples, and they wrote it down for you. The same way that I knew what to put in the mark of the beast. Exactly the same way. Yahweh had it written for me long before I was born. And long before I wrote that book, the mark of the beast, he had it written for me. And then he guided me, taking me by my right hand, guiding me, giving me the knowledge and understanding to write those things that would show you before they ever took place. Okay? You can clap. And we're going to get into this number 39, don't hold your breath, but we're going to get into it. In the Mark of the Beast on page 92, Pastor talks about a mystery religion. And the name of that mystery religion, it's a hidden name. And the hidden name, the mystery name, is Saturn. Saturn. It's the mystery name. And if you look at the gematria of Saturn, in the Chaldee, you don't have the S and the, or the A and the, let's see, I can't remember. This is how it's written in Chaldean gematria, and that's what it adds up to, 666. And it's talking about the hidden god. The worship of a hidden god is what makes it a mystery. But remember, Pastor is the one to expose these things, and Yahweh had him write these things before we ever knew what NASA found out about Saturn. Are you ready to see what NASA found out about Saturn? Now pay attention to when the Cassini space probe, which is an Italian space probe in conjunction with NASA, went to Saturn. Pay attention to the numbers and pay attention to the black cube, because you're going to hear more about that in my next sermon, about the black cube of Saturn and how they worship this thing and how the Pope of Rome is worshiping this even today, how the whole world is worshiping this without even realizing what they're doing. But it's being exposed in the last days by the house of Yahweh. At this time, could you play the video, please?
In early 2007, modern imaging technology revealed something else on Saturn that astounded scientists.
We see it very, very intensely now.
It's something big, something strange, and something never seen in the universe before. Saturn, the solar system's most bizarre yet beautiful planet, has just gotten even more mysterious. In 1979, the Voyager spacecraft showed a perfect geometric form over the North Pole. In October 2006, the Cassini craft found that it is still there.
It's just bizarre, and it sits there kind of still. It doesn't move the planet. the pole, there's a hexagonal feature, a six-sided polygon that encircles the pole at about 78 degrees north latitude. And it's sitting there as a set feature.
The hexagon is similar to Earth's polar vortex, which has winds blowing in a circular fashion around the pole. Saturn's vortex can fit four Earths inside of it and extends 60 miles deep into Saturn's clouds.
And what's more bizarre, Voyager saw little tiny clouds going around at about 100 meters per second, which is about 200 miles an hour, going around this racetrack. People thought, well, maybe it's just a temporary thing. How could this stay there? It's been there now for at least 20 years, and we're going, what is this?
In my last couple minutes, I want to... Now, isn't that amazing that our great overseer... Now, remember what I'm telling you. That is just a speck in the sand of the sea of what you're getting ready to see, what Yahweh's getting ready to reveal to you in these last days, to you and I both. Now, this hat that the Pope wears... It's called a Cappello Romano, and it's a Cappello Romano literally means Roman hat in Italian, or Saturno, because its appearance is reminiscent of the ring planet Saturn. And notice what it's made out of. Beaver fur. Beaver fur. I remember the great son of Israel, Abel, Yeshaya, just got done telling us about that Pope making everyone eat pork, and then the rodent. Remember the rodent? The beaver? I think they were putting beaver flavoring in your ice cream out there in the world. I hope the world knows about what they're putting in that stuff. Now that number 40, turn over in my last scripture here. I want you to turn over to Exodus chapter 25. And we're going to get deeper into this thing about Saturn and everything next time. And you're going to see how Israel was worshiping Saturn, the hidden god. Okay, and the whole world is worshiping Saturn, the hidden god. Exodus 25. The number 40 is the number of probation, tests, trials, and proving. And, you know, if we don't repent, judgment's made against us by that time, by that 40-year period. Exodus 25. And we're talking about the seven-lamp lampstand. I'm not in Exodus. I'm in Genesis. No wonder it looked strange. Okay, Exodus 25, verse 37. I'm sorry, 36. The buds and branches shall all be of one piece. Remember, Pastor said unity, one piece, with the lampstand hammered out of pure gold. Then make it seven lamps and set them up so it may light the space in front of it. Yet remember, Yahweh gives light to expose sin. The law is what exposes sin. It gives light. But then he gives us space. He gives us space, as you see in verse 37, that lights the space in front of it. He gives us space of time to make restitution. To make restitution, to repent. Okay? And it's really interesting. Law number 239 is a thief must make full restitution or be sold for his theft. That's law number 239. That's how old America is in 2015. Now, I'm out of time, but next time, we're going to go deeper into this, and Yahweh is going to reveal much, much more amazing things. So I hope you're all ready. But at this time, it's been an honor and privilege to speak to you, and I'd like to turn it over now to one of Yahweh's great priests. I can't bury my book of Yahweh. Hold on. I can't bury that thing. Let me leave it up here. Let me see how I'm going to do this. Without burying my book of Yahweh. Here we go. Okay, praise Yahweh. And at this time, I'd like to introduce you to great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Well, moving along in the news, we see the storms here in Texas. Of course, we got a lot of rain in the region that we're at here in West Texas. But also the magnitude of the storms and the tornadoes and just how powerful these things can be. We show just south of here down in San Antonio where an 18-wheeler trailer actually ends up on top of a hotel. Now think about the magnitude of what it takes to get that there and think about what those microbes have the power to do when actually they're set to do something or they can't control what they're doing due to confusion. And then a study released this week showing that cancer-causing meats, yes, sad to say, but sausage, bacon, and hot dogs are now linked to cancer. Now, notice they say beef and lamb probably do, but pork definitely does. Well, of course, there's what pay attention to what they say also about the raising of this meat, and don't be confused by the pork. They show how it's being raised. You know, there's no way to raise a clean pig, but they talk about the vaccines they're giving these pigs, and of course they do it to the chickens and other animals. They're saying they're actually creating a bacteria that can't be treated. It's immune to all the vaccines you can give it because it's mutating that way. So very dangerous in what we're seeing here, but Pastor's been bringing these things for at least 40 years, so that's how far ahead he is of the World Health Organization. Two-thirds of men and women have this in common here in America, not just America, but throughout the whole world. That's right, they have herpes. Over 4 billion people in the United States have herpes. You know, that leaves us 2 billion left, it seems like. And that's something that's very deadly because we have to keep our eyes out for these diseases because now tuberculosis, watch for tuberculosis, it's now killing as many people as HIV. Now, that's very deadly, and it's on the rise. It's rising. And then think back to just a few weeks ago, we showed in the news that 20% of the population are now taking medications for mental illness. Well, last week, as we were sitting in the sanctuary, a lady, 25 years of age, she took off and she plowed through a crowd of people at Oklahoma State University, a parade that was taking place, killed 4, hurt over 30. But she hit that with her car, and they're linking that to mental illness. They first accused her of drunk driving, but they're finding now it's mental illness. And that's 20% taking medication. Well, there's a lot more of that can take place at any time, no matter what you're doing, where you're at. Be mindful of where you go. And then in South Carolina, watch how they remove this young girl who refuses to put her phone away, so she's not complying, but watch how they remove her from the classroom or from her desk, more appropriately said. It's very violent. But once again, people are doing what they're trained to do. Then China, if you remember, the Vatican, the scientist who sits on the Council of the Vatican is calling for depopulation. They have the climate meeting coming up in November the 30th of this month, and it will last to December 11th. And they're talking about how to deal with this climate change, also known as depopulation. And of course, Isaiah 24:3, remember that, 24:3, that word emptied, utterly emptied, that word means depopulated in the Hebrew. Remember that because Isaiah said it's going to take place, this depopulation. Well, China's saying they're going to have a baby boom. They've taken away their law that you can only have one child. Now you can have two. But they put themselves in a bind because the law where you could only have one child, they now have 33 million more men than women. Think about what that does for a country and the mindset of a country. The U.S. also now with China, if you remember, China created that island and they're creating islands out in the South China Sea. Well, the United States sent warships out by the South China Sea, by those islands that they're building out in the middle of nowhere, right in the middle of the ocean. And China warned the United States if they continue to do it, that will be something that war could be considered over. In fact, they're considering that an act of war. The United States followed up by saying that we will be doing it again. So watch these tempers building. Watch how this is building. Watch these agreements that are made. We replay an agreement that was made in 2014 between China and Russia, and it had to do with China buying oil. It was a $400 billion agreement between China and Russia going through the BRICS banking system. That means there's no petrodollar being used. The American government doesn't benefit through the selling of this oil. It's an agreement between Russia and China. Guess who now supplies more oil to China than anyone? Russia. They just passed Saudi Arabia, who takes the petrodollar. So by moving Saudi Arabia out of the picture, you have petrodollars being moved out of the picture. You have business going down. That's not beneficial to the United States. Watch how these tensions keep brewing. Then a meeting in Vienna between 20 leaders to answer what's taking place in Syria to come up with a solution. The United States is saying a military solution will not work. We would know. We've been trying it for many years. But the only thing they agreed upon is that they all disagree. That's the only thing they can agree upon. And then the United States, if you remember here just a few weeks ago, they bombed a hospital, whether it was accident or not, they bombed a hospital in Afghanistan. Well, the United States is now accusing Russia of bombing hospitals. And watch, you kind of feel for this man that speaks at the Pentagon, because he has to answer intelligent questions, and watch how he answers it and watch his reply. Don't forget, you won't forget what you see, because it goes to show no one really has to do anything but accuse you of something and you're considered guilty. And then last but not least, violence in Israel. The violence is continually growing. You wouldn't think it could grow more, but it is. And remember, everyone, I'm sure, fulfilled the agreement of reading that brochure on the rebuilding of the temple. Well, they're taking and they're putting this wall now, but watch what they have in the mindset. This wall is not going on the Temple Mount, but they're putting a wall to separate Arabs from Jews. Arabs from Jews. So keep that in mind as you watch these things, and remember all of the things Pastor has brought us, because you're seeing prophecy come to pass. If we could go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Hey. Hey, you're wonderful. Yahweh, look at this. Really close. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Remember what you just did, because if I can get through this sermon today, you're going to find out why. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The world is going down. House of Yahweh is on the rise. Praise Yahweh. I don't want to read much of this, but I want to point out that pork intake, possibly associated with incidence of cervical cancer, a disease also related to HPV virus, pork meat, or dietary factors associated with pork meat consumption may be involved in the development of HPV-related diseases. 67%, you saw this on the news, but I want to bring it to your attention, plus 67% of the people on earth now have this incurable viral infection. I think more than that, but that's not less than that for sure. The 67%, you know, you can imagine more than half of the people you're passing in Walmart could reach over and touch your hand and give you this. or you could get it off of the towel they just picked up in front of you. This is the reason that's shown in Revelations. Remember this. Higher revenues is the reason behind this. Higher revenues from HIV drugs has boosted since September the market to $9.48 billion. I get sick just thinking about that number. 9.4, that I said billion, B-I-L-L-I-O-N, $1 billion. Worldwide sales, look on the market, look on your computer for this. Worldwide sales, you'll see why they don't want to change. They don't want to keep Yahweh's laws. They don't want everyone healthy. They're who's going to buy our products anymore once that place is burned? Remember Revelations 18? Not right now, but I want you to get your mind on other things here. The house of Yahweh. Now, if you just read the Bible only, or the Bibles only, and you don't have guidance, and you don't know the scriptures all the way through, you can't put it together. But if you'll listen closely to the sermons here, and don't get up and walk around or walk out, because you'll miss something that'll keep you from understanding this. But Yahweh is controlling his plan from the very beginning. He showed you this plan. It wasn't meant to be completed till our time period, right now. this sermon that the great Yisrael Abiel brought, I thought this was great, and I started to change my sermon to fit it and take his same name there that he named it. But the house of Yahweh is coming into this time period, of course, with Yahweh's guidance, and the prophecies have prophesied every bit of this that's taking place right now. We turn over to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. I know you've read this hundreds of times, but in this one chapter, he shows, as he does in by many of the prophets, he'll show the world's work, and then he shows his work right behind it. And we tend to forget Yahweh's work and see the worst part, but this work is going to bring all the things that Yahweh has promised. He's going to bring it through you now, you're his house, you're his instrument that he's using, and he's going to bring this to pass through you. You're the workers, and you always will be if you just hang in there. Yes. Well, in Jeremiah 23, if you have a King James Version, it's Jeremiah, that they changed the name to take the name Yahweh off of the end of it. But Jeremiah 23, he says, "Woe to the pastors who destroy." They destroy, that's what they're doing now. "They destroy and scatter my sheep." Whether they're members of the house of Yahweh or not, they're still Yahweh's sheep. And of course, there's a potential, as long as a person is alive, a potential for that person to turn to Yahweh. But Satan, of course, is leading the world today, as you can see from Scripture. Revelations 12:9 says the whole world is deceived by Satan. Well, she does that through her instruments, of course, and her main instrument. I was just told that the Roman Catholic Church has ties with 170 countries. And it just so occurs that 170 countries is figured in this great big business they hear, drug business. There's 170 involved in that. Now, how could you put that particular number together? You might ought to write that number down and look at it. 170 countries. I got the article, but I don't want to read it. "But woe to you, pastors, who destroy and scatter my sheep, the sheep of my pasture." Now, verse 27 shows this same bunch changed the name Yahweh, took it out, caused the people to forget it for the name Lord. Well, they admit doing that. The Catholic Church admits doing it. There's no ifs, ands, and buts as who did it. They did it. They destroyed the temple, took the book of Yahweh, along with all the wealth of Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem. They picked a time. If you'd put all this together and see, they picked a time to destroy Jerusalem. There was 3 million people, 3 million people who was keeping or trying to keep Yahweh's feast. That was in Jerusalem at that time that they picked to destroy Jerusalem. And they surrounded it. Then the armies backed off because they thought more was coming to the feast and they wanted to get them all. They backed off. Some were allowed to escape at that time. Then they closed back in on it and they butchered 3 million people before they destroyed the temple. Now, this is the kind of maniacs you're dealing with today whose mind is screwed up from eating pork and fulfilling their lust of sodomy. Their brains are so twisted they can't get a civil answer at all from inside this head. Now, that's what's running the world. Leader of the kings of the earth today, leading them 170 nations are tied to that particular church, which is situated on seven hills and leader of the kings of the earth. How much plainer could it be? Well, woe to you. Woe to you. This word woe, it means used to express grief, regret, distress, a condition of deep suffering from misfortune, affliction, grief, ruinous troubles. Well, that's what we see throughout the world. We just saw that on television just now. And Jerusalem is still plagued with it. It hasn't stopped suffering all this time. There's been wars and fighting going on. Now, they said Titus put a stop to the wars in Jerusalem. Are they crazy? Do they not see what's going on there and have been going on all these years? He might have put a stop to it for one day till the people started moving back in and taking over again, or fighting over who was going to take over. That's the attitude of the world. That's what they displayed to in 1 Samuel 7 and 8. Well, woe to them. This is what he's saying is coming with this leadership that you're giving my people and scattering my people, pastors who destroy and scatter my people. You're giving them grief, regret, distress, ruinous troubles. That is exactly what's taking place in the world today. Therefore, verse 2, this is what Yahweh, the Father of Israel, says, against the pastors who feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away. Yes, clear away from Babylon, way beyond Babylon. And if you let's continue. Verse 3, but notice this now. This is going on clear up to the end, and that's what it's speaking of here. But I will gather the remnant. When is he going to gather the remnant? Not at that time. Gather the remnant. You are that remnant, brother. You're the one sitting here. That remnant is going to be gathered from all nations. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, where they were driven, and bring them back to their folds, and they will be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them. That's you. That's what you're training for right now, to be teachers, guides, counselors. Everyone needs a counselor. In the house of Yahweh, you need a counselor. Counselors over 50s, you know those counselors over the 50s? Did you know they had counselors over them? And the counselors over them had counselors over them? You need counselors. You need supervisors on the job. You need supervisors to say, this is what you need to be working at today. You need that supervisor to tell you. And then you need to humble yourself and stop thinking that supervisor is below you in some way, or your husband is below the wife in some way, or your wife is below the husband in some way. Get your mind out of that stupid attitude and get it to Yahshua, who humbled himself, put the lowest towel that he could get, the towel of a slave, and started washing feet. That's the attitude you need. You raise yourself up against your supervisor or your counselor, and you're playing the part of Satan, the devil, who is raising herself above Yahweh and saying, I'm going to build my own house here. And it's going to be above all these stars, women. And I'll have the women leading them. Well, the house of Yahweh women, I guarantee you, could lead They can, in righteousness, but not the world. They're leading you into sickness and disease and death. So are the men, as we just saw, just read. And it's multiplying. I've been telling you this for 40 years, as you just got it hammered in, right? And shown in Scripture and in number. Number in Scripture. And I will set up shepherds, that's you, over them, who will feed them, and they will fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither will they be lacking, says Yahweh. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David. Well, Danny shows you how he's going to do it. And of course, you've got to find this in Scripture and find out when this is going to take place. It's actually going to take place. This man, this raise up a righteous branch. This doesn't take place till the last days. And that branch builds the house of Yahweh in the last days. And he tells Yahshua now in Zechariah 6, he says, behold the man called the branch. If you look to Revelation 11, you'll find, hey, this is the branch. Two witnesses. Branches, two branches of the olive tree. Go back to Zechariah 4 and you see, hey, what are these two branches? And then he tells you, this one branch is going to branch out, the one that Yahshua is beholding. Yahshua is your high priest. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 21. He's your high priest over the house of Yahweh. He's guiding you. He's guiding you as a supervisor, as a teacher. That's what you're here training for under him. So he can use you throughout all eternity in the universe, in this universe where Genesis 1:26 shows you the plan of what you're going to be. Then Psalms 8 expounds on that and shows you're going to be put over everything that the fingers of Yahweh has framed, which is the entire universe. Well, here's how he's going to do it now, the shepherds. Behold, the days come. That is, they will come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch and a king. You don't find where that is till you learn the book of Zechariah. From 4 through 6, well, in fact, the whole book of Zechariah is talking about it. Will reign, this king will reign, and he will succeed. It's the first time the house of Yahweh has ever succeeded. The house of Yahweh stayed in action for a short time with Abel. Abel was killed. Someone else had to come and take it over again. Finally, it was killed and broke down and demolished. All the artifacts taken to Rome. Book of Yahweh taken to Rome. That's in their history, by the way. They admit it. They admit it. It's the Ark of Titus, if you'll just look. The book of Yahweh, if you'll look at the Isaiah 34, verse 16, search out the book of Yahweh and read. They changed it to book of the Lord. The Catholic Church did, and they admit they did it. In the catechisms of the Catholic Church, that's the writings, catechism. That's a catalytic history and notes of their own priest. King will reign and succeed this time. The gates of hell, he said, will not prevail against it. And will execute judgment, that is righteous judgment and justice in the earth. He will. Not now. So when's he going to do it? He won't take over until the bombs are dropped and the sun is darkened. That's when you're going to take over. You're in training now. And we are picking away at this beastly system, the Leviathan, as spoken of by Eob, that Yahweh's plan will actually do away totally with at the end. Not now. It's a 6,000-year plan. I'll show you that in number if you'll just pay attention. Get your mind open to hearing what I say. It's coming straight from Yahweh. This message is not mine. It's from Yahweh who sent me. In his day, Yada will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely, and there. And this is the name that he will proclaim to them, Yahweh, our righteousness. Never before. Never before has this been enforced right here. Yahweh is our righteousness, not the gods. The gods are evil, as we see in the third chapter of Genesis. Break these laws and you'll be evil like the gods. You'll know evil like the gods. That's 3:5. Genesis 3:5. That's what it says. Break these laws. Don't pay any attention to the laws of Yahweh, and you'll be like the gods. Don't that make you feel great to be like the gods? Well, the gods are what's being like the gods is what's brought what you saw on the news there just today. Evil like the gods. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That was about 1100 BCE. But they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the protected place and we're working from the protected place, and we bring them from the countries where I have driven them, and they will dwell in their land, in their own land, bought with their own money. Yes, in their own land. Now, if you will, where do we go here? Woe to them, of course. And then, Jeremiah 10, look at verse 10 now. For the land is full of adulterers. Now this is Yahweh's work here from 3 through 8. And then in verse 10, he goes back to the work of Satan again here. For the land is full of adulterers. What is the land full of here? The same as it under that leadership at that time. Where are they getting this leadership? Come and I will show you the sentence of the great whore, this great city that sits on seven hills, who brings forth these abominations to the earth. The leader of the kings of the earth, Revelation 17. Read it, study it. Because of this curse, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the earth are dried up. Their conduct is evil, evil like the gods, whose might is not righteous. Righteousness, righteousness. 1 Yochanan 3:4. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Sin is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. He who practices sin, verse 7. He who practices sin is of the devil. Yes, they belong to the devil. They don't belong to Yahweh. He who practices keeping the laws is righteous. Verse 10, this is what sets Yahweh's people apart from Satan's people. The only group of people on earth today is the house of Yahweh that keeps his laws. That's the only people. In the last days, I will establish my house. In Jerusalem? No. In the chief of the nations. And in fact, that time started in 1934. It actually started at that time. I'm going to jump ahead of myself here. In verse 8, it says, look back to verse 8, it says, but they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, showing this work of Yahweh in these last days. Now, it started actually in 1933 with the conception of a prophesied witness. That's the last witness in that was born in August 1934. August. So I had to be conceived 9 months before that, which took it back to 1934, if you wanted to look this up, I'll read it to you. 1934, it says from 1933. So 1933 says from 1961, which we'll read that next, supposed to mean to breathe, to be, that is life, to be alive, in the sense of existing. That's what it means. Now, this was what was promised in the beginning, but then death came by sin through Eve, through deception. That's the same thing it's doing now, but the whole world is deceived, Yahweh says. And he looked, and there was no one. And then he says, in the last days, I will establish my house. And a king, a branch and a king, and they will work together, he said. And they will bring forth judgment and justice throughout the earth. Supposed to mean properly to breathe, to be, in the sense of existence. Be thou, be, shall be, may be. The word 183, from which this came, has this requirement, or has this gift to, it says wish for, but the word should be desire, to lust after. That is, speaking of life and what brings life, the laws of Yahweh. In other scriptures, it shows, like in Isaiah and Jeremiah, it shows the last day's witness actually lusting after, breathing hard after, desiring, staying up late, working, studying. Yes, it shows all those things would be. And this number here shows this same thing. Desire, to lust after, longed for, covet, and so forth. Now the word 1934, which comes from 1933, this word 1934 means also to exist, to be, become, behold, came to pass. So it's a prophecy that it's speaking of here. Come to pass. Cleave, consider, do, give, have, judge, keep, labor, mangle, put, see, seek, set, take heed, tremble, walk. Now that's what the word 1934, which comes from the word 1961. I can't read you all of this. It's a fourth of a page in Strong's Concordance, but I want to go through some of it. 1961, again, means it comes from 1933. 1933, the year I was conceived in the ends of the earth, Oklahoma. Yes, that's the ends of the earth, the last land. They had the Oklahoma Run, if you want to look it up. That's where I was born. Named by Yahweh himself, spoken through the bowels of my mother, which was a one-year-old child that was born ahead of me. And my dad, bouncing him on his knee, never expected the answer he got. But he said, what would you name your brother? And he said, Buffalo Bill Hawkins. All of my family heard it. And it was talked about constantly throughout my life, even up until my older brother was dead, that joined he and I, Jacob, were worked together as the two witnesses. This brother that named me, that Yahweh spoke through, Yahweh said, I'm the one that named you, though you didn't realize it was me, but I'm the one that named you. Through my brother, through the bowels of my mother, which would be my brother, all of those things are spoken about me. The only thing that's spoken about the Catholic Church, the Pharisees, who were the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians in Yeshua's day, who were the priests of Israel that took over the temple by violence in Jeremiah's day and prophesied to change the name. Yes, it was going on right then. By the time Yeshua was on earth, they were killing people who spoke the name outwardly, or who would keep the Sabbath properly. They were killing those people. Well, the number now, 1961, which comes from the number 1933, come to pass. A prophecy come to pass. A beacon. Remember that? A sign, a beacon, a flag in Isaiah, that the witness, he tells the witness to raise up, a beacon. All together, become accomplished, committed to, and like, you like it, break, cause, come to pass, self-require to become, occur, come to pass, to come to be, an emotion, fear, a state of being. And that's in Amos, the same one that says, I'll have no work except that prophesied. In miracle accounts, and of course we've seen a lot of miracles. I never asked for miracles. I told Yahweh I wasn't asking for miracles, and I never have. But all I want is to be able to teach and turn people to righteousness. By using this verb, they emphasize not... Well, let me go back a little further. The prophets used Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H, to project Yahweh's intervention of the future. Now, that's what this word is that it's speaking of in 1934, that indicates comes from 1934 and 1933. So the prophets use Hayah to project Yahweh's intervention in the future. By using this verb, they emphasize not so much the occurrence of predicted events and circumstances as the underiving divine force that will affect them. Knowing now, if you put that together with the dream he gave me not too long ago, saying, I'm in full control, remember that? So Yahweh is in full control, and they give the scripture, Isaiah 2:2. I'm reading from Strong's Concordance, you can check me out. Isaiah 2:2. Well, everyone here knows what Isaiah 2:2 says. In the last days, I will establish my house in the chief of the nations. This is all given in this number, 1934. The passage used Hayah in describing Yahweh's relationship to his covenant of salt people to set forth what is desired and intended, like in Exodus 12:16. Now that's when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Of course, that children of Israel that he brought out of Egypt brought the Coptic religion with them, the Coptic Catholics. You look into history and say, ask the question, well, where did the Coptic Catholics come from? Well, I think it was just a monastery, maybe up in the mountains, that it came from, some monastery. That's where, you know, the monkeys, I mean, I keep getting that word mixed up. Monks, where the monks go. And other monkeys, I mean, children, come following them. They say it's a, when this started, this monastery, when it started, that it drew a lot of young children who became involved in their sins. The catechisms of the Catholic Church was not scripture. The catechisms of the Catholic Church is given in this history of the Coptic religion. Coptic Catholics, that's what they are. The catechisms of the Catholic Church are files of documents that they dreamed up on their own and said, well, this looks like the great thing to do. This is following this God. This God said this, so let's do this. But it never came from Yahweh's prophets or the holy inspired scriptures called the Book of Yahweh. Read it for yourself. I'll have it in a letter very soon. I've got the letter written already. It's just a matter of getting it printed and out to you. But Exodus 12, this is coming out from that group that Yahweh showed you in Genesis 49. He actually showed you this that took place in Exodus. He showed you this and named all 12 of these tribes there and said, this is what they're going to be in the last days. No, they didn't disappear. They didn't get killed. In fact, they told Yahshua, we're the seed of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. Did you get what they said there? They were the bonders. They'd never been in bondage. They're the ones that was in control. They're the ones that had the great army that killed and murdered all of their enemies. They're the ones that gave the orders. They were never under arrest. They are the ones that had the police that arrested you when you kept Yahweh's Sabbath correctly. Yes, if you kept Yahweh's Sabbath correctly, you would be doing it the way Yahshua did, serving people. Yes. And you remember how they jumped onto him and went to finding some way then that they could murder him because he was out here and his disciples were working to assist the poor, heal the people, feed the people. 5,000 people on one Sabbath day he fed. Yeah, that would take a lot of work for me and you. If you don't believe it, ask the crew at the cafeteria. When covenants were made between two partners, the formulas usually included Deuteronomy 26 and Jeremiah 7:23. One of the most debated uses of Hayah occurs in Exodus 3:14, where Yahweh tells Moshe his name. That's all in 1934. Where Yahweh's name is finally brought out. Starting in 1934, when I was born, that work had to be prepared. 1934. I could go on and on in this, but I've got to show you something else. I'm going to jump ahead of myself here. Again, I was writing a letter this week, and I got to the point where I was having to hurry and find a shut-off place because I just want to keep writing and writing and writing. I told the elders this morning that sometimes I could just come, you know, and just stay here preaching all day and just keep it going to show the from one end to the other the care Yahweh has taken and guided to bring forth this plan in the last day. It wasn't meant to be back then. The only thing that was meant to be back then that Yahweh brought forward was Yahshua Messiah that wasn't born till 2,000 years ago. Yahshua Messiah. That's it. And he laid the foundation. He and his crew laid that foundation. And it wasn't accepted. It never was accepted until our generation. And Yahweh showed that Yeshua would come riding a donkey and a donkey's coat. Remember that? You're it, the donkey's coat. Meaning we came from the donkeys of Yeshua. We're the donkey's coats, led by the branch. That's what he said. Now, I was showing some dates from the beginning, 4004 BCE. You can get these dates. I have about three or four sources, Number and Scripture, Hertel Blue Ribbon Bible, which I've told you that I used to sell. It had these dates right at the top of the page, still does. It may not have now because it was bought out by the Catholic Church. And from what I understand, the references were taken out of it. It had the best center reference available at that time. But the dates are given. Commentaries give the dates. But it was 4004 BCE, if you want to write that down, to the prophesied work of the two witnesses and the high priest, Yeshua Messiah. If you read Hebrews 10:21, you'll see that he's high priest over the house of Yahweh. The Catholic Church, the catechisms of the Catholic Church admit that they changed the name, they took the name House of Yahweh out and put House of the Lord instead. Verse 16 says, He will teach us His laws, put them in our hearts and our minds, He will write them. That's verse 16. The Catholic Church doesn't teach the laws of Yahweh. In fact, it teaches against the laws of Yahweh. Pope Francis says, do not teach morality. You take away from the rights of the people. And you've got to remember while you're taking away these rights that sexuality is the practice of love. Now what he's talking about, sodomy that creates STDs, that causes deformed babies and causes undue pregnancies that must be aborted, as they say, murdered, they must be murdered. That's an act of love to murder these children, to commit STDs. Oh yes, because they just love the Catholic Church and they want to bring all this billions of dollars into the Catholic Church. That's your act of love. And they will not repent of this. If you look at Revelation 9, the ninth chapter, about verses 19, 20, and 21, you'll see they won't repent of their pharmaceuticals. Yes. Look it up. It's even in the King James Version. Well, Yeshua will teach a different story. Let's turn over to Hebrews right quick. To Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Yeshua, who is high priest over the house of Yahweh, Hebrews 10, verse 21, and saying, a high priest over the house of Yahweh, verse 16, he shows what he will be teaching. This is the covenant that I will renew with them after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws in their heart. Well, the Catholic Church and all Christianity says the laws are done away with. Well, they are to them, but they're not to us, not to Yahweh's house. They still, their salvation in the house of Yahweh. There is no salvation outside the house of Yahweh. Put my laws in their hearts and in their minds will I write them. Look on up to verse 24. And let us consider one another. Let us consider one another. If you remember, 2 Kefa says, in the last days, perilous times will come and there will be no love. There will only selfishness. That's what Yeshua said in Matthew 24, verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love will grow cold. Well, this is an act of love, Pope Francis. Right here is an act of love. Consider one another. How we may urge one another on towards love and righteous by righteous works. That's love. First Yochanan 3 and verse 10 says that this separates this love The keeping of Yahweh's law separates the people of Yahweh from the people of Satan. If you don't keep the laws of Yahweh, no, neither do you love your neighbor. No love. It's taught, by the way, in keeping Yahweh's laws. And in this you can rejoice. Not forsaking, verse 25, this is Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the gathering of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin, if we don't keep these days, if we don't gather together in front of Yahweh, not forsaking the gathering of yourselves together. Verse 26, for if we sin, if you don't celebrate these days at Yahweh's house, you're practicing sin. If we sin willfully after that the knowledge of the truth has come, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. That's the reason Yahweh offered this to, when he offered it to Israel, the 12 tribes, and they refused it. They refused his Sabbath days, and he says, you will never enter my rest. They turned it down. Verse 27, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fury, indignation, which shall devour the adversary. Now, he's talking about gathering yourselves together in this same book. Look over to chapter 4, and you see this offered to our forefathers, the 12 tribes, and you see them in chapter 4, chapter 3, 16 through 19, and then chapter 4 on, you'll see they rejected it. They didn't believe, he said. They said they didn't believe. Well, what did they believe? They believed in Easter, Christmas, Halloween, the worship of the saints, worship of the dead, as Isaiah 65:5 shows. They keep memorials to the dead. All Saints Day now. It used to be a saint for every day, so they changed it and picked Halloween as the All Saints Day. The biggest money-making holiday of the year starts tomorrow evening. Don't be a part of that council, brother. Don't even get near it. Somebody said they'd already found candy laced with razor blades, broken razor blades, broken glass. Somebody sent some of it to the police department, I guess. Well, chapter 4 now, look at, and remember, he said, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. He's speaking of the Sabbath day. It's a sin if you don't keep the Sabbath day. Now look at verse 8, chapter 4 of Hebrews and verse 8. Now Yahshua, that's Yahshua, the high priest over the house of Yahweh, not Yahshua ben Nun, he didn't do this. Yahshua Messiah, caused them to rest in obedience to the law. The Pharisees did not keep the Sabbath according to the obedience to the law. They kept it according to their handed down traditions. And they made the law of Yahweh of none effect, Yahshua said, by their traditions. Remember? Now, Yahshua caused them to rest according to the law. You know how he did that? Did you read how he actually practiced keeping the Sabbath? Serving other people. That's the way. He fed people. He healed people. His disciples was walking through the cornfield, picking corn and eating it as they went. That wasn't breaking the Sabbath day at all. But to the Pharisees, they jumped all over Yahshua and said, why is the disciples out there gathering corn on the Sabbath day, breaking the Sabbath day? And Yahshua said to them, don't you, each of you have a donkey? And don't y'all take him to water when he's thirsty on the Sabbath day? Don't you circumcise your children on the Sabbath day when the eighth day falls on the Sabbath day? Don't you see that that is keeping the Sabbath day? It's not breaking it. He is trying to explain to them, but they couldn't get it. They didn't want to get it. They wanted to keep on with their own traditions, making the Sabbath a yoke of bondage which no one could keep. That was the idea, hoping they would turn them from the Sabbath. They were trying at that time to stop them from keeping the Sabbath. You can't teach nonsense like that and expect people to obey such a thing. Carry a needle on the back of your hand so many paces, then you got to change it and put it on your elbow or stick it in your nose or something to carry it further. You know, this is stupidity. But that is the handed down traditions, the Talmud, that they handed down. Now, Yeshua calls them to rest in obedience to the law spoken of by Yahweh in a day previously. Therefore, there remains the keeping of the Sabbath to the people of Yahweh. For he who has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, not from Yahweh's works, as Yahweh did from his. Therefore, let us be zealous to enter into this rest so that no one may fall after the same example of unbelief. Read again Deuteronomy. Hebrews 4. Look at go to 12. And the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Now this is Yahshua and the planned work that Yahweh is showing is going to take place at the end of the days with a high priest over the house of Yahweh, piercing even the dividing of the body and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we must give account. All things that he has created. The two-edged sword, I want you to get that right there and tie it in with the work in the last days. Where do you find that two-edged sword? Does anyone remember? Revelations 11, the two witnesses. Revelations 11, the two witnesses. And he says, arise and measure the temple. You need to get you a temple booklet and start studying that, because we're seeing the wall. If you notice that wall again on the news, we're seeing this now. I do believe that this is it. And so get the temple brochure, and read about that wall. That book was written several years ago, but it's finally coming to pass. Now, verse 3, and I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic duty at the time the temple will be rebuilt. Now, this was 96. It was about 16 years after the temple was destroyed. It was destroyed in 70 A.C.E., and he's speaking of a time when it will be rebuilt, and he gives the witnesses here the job of measuring this and then bringing forth the prophecy of Yekiska, which we did. We've got it, and we've got a temple model of it. All of this has already taken place, but it's in reference to the two witnesses that Yahshua described as bringing forth in the last days a two-edged sword. In verse 3 now, he says, I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic duty in that time period, that generation. And they will foretell events. This is the same two that Daniel saw now in chapter 12 of Daniel. In verse 4, I saw two others in that time period, he said. closed the books, which it was closed, is taken to Rome and held captive for over 1,500 years, didn't even come out. You couldn't find the book of Yahweh, not a King James Version or anything, until the 1600s. Think of that. But Yahweh brought it back, the renditions of the book of Yahweh, brought it to the ends of the earth to give to my mother and my dad, which read it to me nightly. Every night. I can't remember a night that we missed. Nightly. Every evening after sunset by the kerosene light. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have toilets in the house. We ran to get our water. We had running water. We ran to get it with a bucket. All of that took place in my lifetime. And there's many people here. I didn't know that there's that many people here that lived in the days when there was an inside bathroom. But they did, and they come forth telling me about it. Missouri and Oklahoma, Texas, they all had them up until about in the 50s, I think. They started coming in before that, but poor people didn't. Okay, they'll foretell now the events at that time. They're going to do a work at that time, gathering the people together and putting the laws of Yahweh in their minds and their hearts. Will they put them there? About the same 1,000 foretell events about the 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. These are, as it were, the two olive trees. You have to go to Zechariah 6 to find out about the two olive trees, 5 and 6. And as it were, the two lampstands, the same place it shows you about the two lampstands, the branches, ministering for Yahweh, ministering for the Father of the earth. And if any among them determines in his mind to commit sin, the every word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, like the two-edged sword. Remember that in Hebrews there? You just read it. You remember it? Get your mind on it now. The two-edged sword proceeds out of the mouth of them. That's the two witnesses of them. And he devours their enemies. And if any man then should continue to commit sin in this manner, it is binding for him to be destroyed. Destroyed. Now, I want you to go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 12. Now, speaking of keeping the Sabbath, and Yahweh says in Deuteronomy to you, to all, this is what we're teaching, the laws and the prophets, in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5, he said, seek you, but you are to seek the habitation of your father. Now, if you remember Yahshua, our high priest, he says, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. That's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Well, the religions don't seek that at all. We're the only ones on earth that seek Yahweh and his righteousness, the kingdom of Yahweh. Right now, you're classified in Scripture, you, my friend, are classified as the kingdom of Yahweh. We are the kingdom of Yahweh. But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh, your father, will choose out of all of your tribes to establish his name. And there you must go. Now look at verse 7. There in front of Yahweh, your father, you and your family shall eat, and you shall rejoice. That's a command to go to Yahweh's house and rejoice. Now, of course, Yahweh's house was established in the last days, as he said. Micah 4, verses 1 through 3, Isaiah 2:2. From the time of creation, 2004, write this down, please. 4004. It's the time of creation, 4004, until 1934. Till 1934. Got that? If you add those, if you put one on top of the other one and add it up, you will find the number 5937. That's 5937 and 38. Those two go together. 5,938, which comes from 5,937. If you look up 5,938, now remember that takes you to the year 1934. If you look up 5,938, it says this comes from 5,937. That's what Strong shows. Just like 1934 comes from 1933. 5,937 means the prime root to jump for joy. Oh boy, it blows your mind, don't it? Exalt, E-X-U-L-T. This word means to leap up. Oh boy, that's what I want to do right now. To leap. To leap for joy, to be extremely joyful, rejoice, seek Yahweh's house, Deuteronomy says. There you must go, and there you will learn to rejoice. When I came through the gate down here this morning, I had remembered last night that I didn't look up this number. So I looked it up last night late, got out of bed, went and looked it up. And it was a little hard to go to sleep after that. I was so excited. I was wanting to leap for joy then. But anyway, the sign down there says at the front gates, and I didn't know this at that time when I told the great deacon Jeremiah Strouser Hawkins to make these signs. But it says, learning to rejoice in Yahweh's righteousness starts here. Well, that's exactly what this number means from creation up to 1934. That number adds up to 5,938, which comes from the number 5,937. And it means to leap for joy, to rejoice, the command. Well, of course, this just shows you, and this is what I want you to get, is that Yahweh is in control. I mean, he's in control of this work, totally. He's leading it, he's guiding it. And he's letting us know, like the sermon that the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins brought this morning. The information there, and there's much more to go on these numbers. But also the prophecies, which we'll get together again next week and cover some more of them. Don't miss a service. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Come, if you can cry, if you have to crawl to get here. Don't let anything stop you. Hear the sermon all the way through. This is Yahweh speaking to you to help you to overcome and to help you to know that he's here with you. His eyes and his heart is right here. That's what he said. When you keep a Sabbath, you're keeping your appointment with Yahweh. That's the feast days and the weekly Sabbath. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!